everyone, and welcome to the 9th episode of the What is Love podcast. My name is Aisata.
And my name is Maggie.
And we are so excited to come to you finally with an English episode. We know we promised that earlier. We released an introduction episode in English for you guys to know what the podcast would be about. And the English speakers have been very shy. So we're very happy to have someone who was kind enough and vulnerable enough to open up to our mic.
Definitely. I'm super excited to have this first episode in English. We are hoping that some of our French-speaking speakers are also bilingual and that we can share in the fun with them. But definitely, I do not know why our English community was so shy. It was unexpected for me to see how little of English speaking content we got. I don't know why, but I hope that this is the first of many.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people listen to this and get a little less intimidated by the idea of sharing their personal stories. And it's a true episode of firsts, because on top of this being our first episode in English, it's also the first episode where the guest has a modified voice. So our guest could only feel comfortable sharing their story publicly if we modified their voice. And we're trying this for the first time. We want to know how you feel about this. And we thought the story was so interesting that we were willing to make that little change to the way we usually do things. But we do hope that this episode allows more people to come forward and to want to share their stories in English.
Definitely. And when you said it is an episode full of firsts, I thought that you were talking about the actual content of the story, because I just realized that listening to our guests speak, it is an episode of a lot of firsts. Actually, she talks about a lot of firsts in that story. I don't know if you recall.
I think I do, but we'll keep it blurry like that and we'll see if people figure out what we mean when we listen to the episodes. Mm-hmm. But before we let you listen to the guest story, we'll share quickly some of our thoughts as we usually do in our other episodes. And I'm curious to know, Miggy, how did you feel about this episode and what thoughts did it bring to you?
The first thought that it brought to me was the concept of home. I found it super interesting because I've been thinking about it myself. What does it mean to be home? And a lot of the time when you say you want to go home, it's like the peaceful place. It's like your safe haven. Home isn't necessarily always a place where you're going to feel jolly and happy. So it was interesting to hear her speak about that. There was also something about unconditional love and having stayed in a relationship because of unconditional love or thanks to unconditional love. I don't know, but I'm asking myself the question, does unconditional love mean you stay? Was there any point where unconditional love for the other person trumped unconditional love for herself? And was it unconditional love or was it fear of leaving somebody? So yeah, I had a lot of questions around that.
And I'm sure these questions will make more sense to you guys when you listen to the episode and see the challenges that that our guest was facing in this love situation relationship. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was an episode that made me practice empathy in a way. I think there are so many situations that in the past I would hear about and somewhat, not necessarily judge, but see things as black or white. Mm-hmm. So you would tell me about a specific situation, I'll be like, well, if this person is not available, you mm-hmm. can't be together, period. There was no in between. There was no blurred lines, nothing. And I think listening to this episode and listening to this guest story just made me understand all the complexities that come into relationships, and it just opened my eyes a little more to how people can find themselves in certain situations that are so easy to judge from the outside, but that are so complicated to go through. And it just, I think it just relaxed my moral complex in a certain way, where I think I would see certain situations now and just not judge. I won't have an opinion. I'm not going to say, this is great, go for it, love that for you. I just won't judge until I have full context, because context really matters.
I really do believe that in every situation that we hear about, there's a humbling part of it, a humbling part of the learning experience. Definitely, you learn how to listen with a little more empathy, as you said, and a lot of the shades of gray. My therapist often told me in our various conversations, life is often lived in the shades of gray. So, which fits amazing for this episode, I think.
Yep. On that note, guys, we'll stop talking and we'll let you listen to the guest. We can't wait to hear your thoughts, to get your feedback, to get you hooked so that you can prepare for our next episodes in English. And maybe that would push you to want to practice your French and to go back to the French episodes and try to understand. Who knows?
Because y'all missing out on those episodes.
Right?
Fire. Fire.
So enjoy the episode and thank you.
Bisous.
I want to start a little bit before my story actually starts to give you like an idea of the state of my affairs before this story. I was single as hell. I had never been in a relationship. I had never even kissed a guy. And I had been ready to mingle for years. And it never happened. And there's no particular reason as to why, because some guys liked me and I didn't like them back. And I like guys that didn't like me back. When the story actually starts, I'm 24. Being the dramatic girl that I am, I decided that I was most likely to die alone. So my friends at the time, they wanted to set me up with guys. And my response was always very much cringe. I don't want to. I kind of want to, but I don't want to. I was very socially anxious. And so a lot of the time I would say no before even, you know, being actually introduced to somebody. That year, the requests to set me up became more and more frequent until one day my friend Lena is like, I'm going to introduce you to somebody and I think you're gonna like him. He's your type. She shows me a picture of this guy and I think nothing of him. You know, it's a picture. And I remember just thinking, there's no point objecting because I object, but people keep trying to kind of say, yep, so I'm gonna go along with it. My work involved a lot of traveling on the continent. And we were just about to start this new program in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and I had never been there before. So it was going to be something that was going to be repetitive travel to that country. And so Lena shows me this picture, and she's like, when we start the program, and we have to travel together, I'm going to introduce you to this guy because he's a focal point and he might help us like a lot with our work. So I agree. As I said, I was very much dead set on no longer objecting to people being introduced to me because I had done a lot of that in the past. It was this paradoxical feeling of wanting to find love and being afraid of any sort of interaction at the same time. And so we traveled on a Sunday and we get to like the cutest hotel. It's my first time in the country and I'm so excited to discover a new place. And I hadn't traveled to a new place like in over a year. So I'm very excited. And we get to this boutique hotel. It's so cute. We sit down in the lobby because they have like free snacks that they're handing out. Like they're bringing us cake and tea and they're like, it's complimentary and stuff. And I remember we had a presentation. So we sat in that lobby for hours on end. Like we sat down, it was probably like 3 p.m. and we were still there by the time it was 8-9, and we were trying to like get this presentation right because it was an important presentation and we had never really done it on our own before. So We're working, we're talking, and it was the time where I really bonded with Lena at the time because we had just gotten to know each other at the beginning of that year, and now we were kind of like building a friendship. And I was so appreciative of that time, actually. And she tells me, okay, so you know the guy that I talked to you about, after work he's going to swing by the hotel and he's gonna come and say hi to us and stuff. I'm like, it's late as hell. At this point, it's like 10, 11. But okay. And I'm my social battery is okay, but still I haven't had time to rest. So I'm just like, am I really in the mood? But really, it doesn't matter whether you're in the mood or not because this is for work. So we're sitting and we're going through our presentation. When at around 11 midnight, Henry strolls by. He walks into the lobby and he's looking for us, and Lena waves at him, and he comes to greet us, and then he sits down opposite us. And the first thing I remember realizing was that he was really tall. And the second thing was that he was tired. And we start talking about how we've got this huge meeting tomorrow. We have to be prepared. And he's very encouraging, you know, it's gonna be okay. And then we start talking about everything. And I love that we can have this, we start having random discussions about spirituality on the continent. And we start talking about art. And I realize that he's art enthusiast, and I'm just like, oh, that's super cool. And conversation is flowing, it's pretty cool. And in my head, I'm like, I feel comfortable. I'm not freaking out. We go to bed that night, it's like 3 a.m. We have to be up by 6, and we go to do this presentation, which, by the way, we rocked. It was amazing. After this meeting, we have another meeting at Henry's office, actually. So we meet some of his colleagues, we have a great meeting there as well, and then we go and tell him how awesome it's been. From that point, I didn't think anything other than the guy is tall, and I love that he loves art, and that we can have a flowy conversation. We walk into his office. At one point, we're sitting at his sofa, in his office, and somebody walks into his office. It's an older guy, much older guy, who has like a stack of papers, and he shows the papers to Henry. And Henry is visibly higher ranked than this guy, but much younger. And he's being super kind to the guy. And visibly, there's an issue with the documents. And so he's like very gently telling him, like, he should fix the papers and blah blah. And I start at that point specifically, I'm like, I start looking at him differently. I'm like, oh, that was like super attractive. His kindness was super attractive to me. And he says he needs to take both Lena and I out because we've done so well on our mission, and we're going to dinner tonight. We go to dinner that night. I'm sitting next to him. Lena's in front of us, and we're talking. And at some point, I do not know from where it starts being like flirtatious. And Lena's just like there, she's just looking at us like, okay. And we talk the entire night. And then at some point, he mentions that, you know, his girlfriend, something about his girlfriend, but fleetingly. So I'm just like, oh no. Oh, don't do it to me. Don't. But okay, his girlfriend, some. I don't know how to explain it to you, but it was like he mentioned her in such a, like, I don't even want to say disinterested way, but in a way that was just so fleeting, it almost felt unreal. So I go back to the hotel, I chat up Lena, and I'm like, did he like really mention that he had a girlfriend? Or, and she tells me, well, it seems so. I do feel like he mentioned her very disinterestingly, but let's just abort the mission right then and there. And so I'm like, okay. He and DMs me that night because I had taken pictures of Kinshasa by night and by day as well, actually, because when we were in between meetings, I was taking pictures and I was, you know, showing it on my Instagram. And he said, thank you so much for promoting my country the way you have. And we chit chat a bit here and there. And then I go to bed. So that's the first night. The second day we have other meetings. After those meetings, we're done pretty early and he has like this break. He joins us for lunch and he looks very enthusiastic to come and sit next to me. Then he remembers like, whoa, let me calm down. He sits next to Lena instead of me. And we have this chat and I'm feeling super shy. I remember feeling super shy, feeling super like, I don't know, I'm nervous now. You know, I wasn't nervous before, now I'm nervous now. And we have this banter going on between us, just fun banter. We get into the car that's assigned for us and we're done with the meeting. So we're like, we want to go shopping in the city. And he knows all the spots and he's like, you can go here, there, there. And so he goes with us and he's literally sitting there. And we're like asking him for his opinion on like outfits and stuff. And at one point Lena's at, she's in the fitting rooms and I'm just with him. And then I find myself talking about like life projects and, entrepreneurial ventures I'd like to try. And he's off the bat, like very receptive, being like really supportive. And after that, we get back in the car. Lena has to go out to get like some cash. And then we're in the car alone and we're talking like nonstop. The next day, he says that he wanted to take us somewhere new before we leave. We end up not being able to because somebody else has called us to have another meeting. We're super bummed, but we have to go to the airport right after that meeting, which is what we do. And at the airport, I'm sad to leave. And I feel the urge to Instagram him. So I slide into his DMs and I say, thank you so much for, you know, all your time because you showed us around and, you know, you kept us company. It was really good meeting you. Can I have your number? What's your number? And at this point, I'm like, did I really ask for his number? Because I'm a shy girl. I don't do asking guys their numbers. And again, this is the first time. And then when I land, I see he had sent me his number. And so I send him a WhatsApp message. I tell him we're back home. We're home safe. Thank you so much for the time spent. And he said he like it was his pleasure. And next time we're back, we're going to go where he said that we would go. From that point on, I cannot for the life of me stop thinking about him. And this goes on for like days. And it goes on to the point where I'm posting something on my Instagram stories. And if he hasn't checked in the next 10 minutes, if I don't see his name in the stories, I'm depressed. I'm so sad. It goes on for a few days until one day I'm coming back from the gym and I see a message from him on my WhatsApp and I'm like super excited and very anxious at the same time. He's like, how are you? I just wanted to check how you were. And we start talking. And then he tells me, you know, we never finished our conversation from dinner and you have mentioned that you'd never dated and why is that? And so we get into this whole conversation. And then he tells me, so but when are you coming back? Because I think I might be in love with you. At this point, I'm like, and I quote, I say, it took you long enough. At this point, we're like 3 weeks in, like calm down. But it's like, it took you long enough. And I'm glad we've got that out of the way. And I will be coming back when next we have a mission in your country. And this starts a long-winded, long-distance relationship where I'm speaking to this man every single day of my life for 3 months. So every single time I'm talking to him, there's a part of my conscious that's like, he has a girlfriend. He mentioned a girlfriend. Ask him about his girlfriend. And One night we're talking, I say, you know, there was this one, I talked to him about like my past, you know, and the fact that, again, I've never dated, blah, blah. And I say, and there's this one guy who was hitting on me, but, you know, he was married. And so there was no way I was gonna continue with him. And it was done, it was a purposely brought story so that I would see, you know, if he was gonna mention her again. And he goes, well, you know, I'm in a relationship. I'm not married, but I'm in a relationship. And I say, I know, and I don't like it. And I go, how is that going for you? And he says, it's okay. He brushes it off. And in that moment, I'm thinking, I'm not really continuing to speak to this guy every single day, am I? At this point, we're about 2 months in, and I like him. And I'm thinking, I'm 100% sure he's gonna dump her, because the more we talk, the more we're gonna get into our feelings, and the less that relationship is going to be relevant. That is something that I was convinced of. And so we talk, and we talk every single day, and my mom knows him by name now. I'm talking about him all the time. He's waking me up in the morning. He's the last person I speak to at night. It's the first time somebody's calling me babe and sweetie and boo, and I'm here for it. But my conscience is gnawing at me, and I wish it would shut up. He has a girlfriend. I know you think that this is like amazing. You know, you're catching feelings for this guy, and you need to stop. So I remember thinking, I don't know this man, because I've seen him physically only once. I remember making this prayer, Lord, Holy Spirit, give me the words. There's this biblical verse, give me the words that I need in the time that I will need it. And I took some days actually where I disappeared, like when I was, you know, answering fleetingly. And I remember he had gone on a trip to somewhere, he was attending a wedding, and I, in that time, I made it a point not to talk to him at all, because I was kind of thinking through, like, when am I just gonna cut it off? And I remember, like, Tuesday, I'm at the office, and I'm trying to concentrate, and I get a text from him, and he tells me, I feel like you've been so distant, like, I feel a little irrelevant in your life lately. And I say, that's because I don't want to continue, whatever this is. I don't want to continue because you have a girlfriend and you told me this. And so I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And he tells me, okay, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not sad about it, but okay, I respect your decision. Let's stop, which we did, but we keep talking here and there. And I remember, so a few weeks go by, and then 1 week, as I'm already like really not in a good mood, it's raining, I'm sick, I come back home at like 3 p.m. I'm drenched by the rain, dramatic AF, and I sit on my bed, and I, as we usually do, open up my Instagram kind of like absent-mindedly. And there is a picture of him and his girlfriend, because it's his girlfriend's birthday, and he's like, happy birthday. And that made it real to me. That picture made it real. And I'm like, oh my God, here's the face of the person. Here's the person. It's very real. And I kid you not, I cried so hard. I don't know if it was the sadness. I don't know if it was the effect of medication for flu, cold and flu. But I slept from 4 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next day. I was just done. But he's still commenting here and there on Instagram, on my Instagram, and hi, bye, whatever. And I attended this wedding this one time, and there's this picture of me that I if I do say so myself, I'm looking cute. And and I posted on Instagram, and I have a DM from him the next day, and he tells me, I would marry you. And I'm just like, why are you doing this to me? My conscience already talked to me. I broke it off with you. We're good. Peace. Deuces. Bye. You know, ignore, move on. I have a mission in the neighboring Congo. And I remember, because I'm on Instagram all the time, he realizes I'm in the neighboring country. And he says, I'm coming to see you. And I'm like, excuse me, what? And he says, I'm coming to see you. You're going to see me, like, tonight. So at this point, it's been 5 months since the first time I've met him. I can't help but be excited about it. And I'm trying to tell myself, like, this isn't a good idea, but it's whatever. We only live once. I'm going to see him. And so he literally does what he said that he was going to do, and I see him that same evening, and I remember I'm frantic in the hotel, kind of like, do I look cute? Do I, you know, nothing has to happen, but I want to see him. I recall the first thing I do when I see him is kiss him, and that's my first kiss, and I didn't wait for him to say none, to hi. I don't care. That was the first thing that happened. From that point, he's coming up to my hotel room from that point. And that's, I lose my virginity on that night. I recall just feeling super, super anxious, waking up like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Like, oh my God, why, where, when, at what point? And I remember I called all the girlfriends that morning. Everybody had to know. And I remember I called Lena, and I recall she was like very worried. Are you okay? How did it happen? She was very like concerned. And so that happens, and then so I go back home from the mission. After all this happens, and even a little bit before this happened, I was very much convinced that this man was the man for me. I see him as a husband, I truly do. He has the traits of a husband. We're so in sync, even when we haven't talked for weeks on end, because remember, prior to this, I had broken up with him. So I'm convinced that this man is my husband, and it doesn't matter what quote-unquote mistake I'm making, I'm ending up with this man. Whatever it is that he has going on with his girlfriend, it's gonna end up ending, because I believe that we have stepped into a different realm of our relationship. And then I just have this very sickening feeling as the weeks go by, because I want to have a conversation again about where is it that we stand. And again, so I keep hitting a brick wall. Like, I don't get the answer that I want. And very much vague answers in which he is only sure about his feelings for me that he expresses, but never anything about this other person and where they stand. Around Christmas time, I stopped talking to him a little bit again, because it's like frustrating. Does he not have an answer for me? On December 25th, it's Christmas Day at my aunt's house, and I get this panic attack. I can't breathe. Literally, it's like the air is closing around, like it's closing around me. And I walk out of my aunt's house. I sit outside, and I'm visibly distraught. And my sister follows me outside, and she tells me, she's like, what's wrong? And I tell her, he's getting engaged. I know he's getting engaged, like right now. She's looking at me like, did you get hit by a brick wall or something? Like, what are you talking about? And I'm crying and I can't breathe. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to breathe. And time goes by. We talk here and there, but I'm being very much avoidant again. Like, I don't want to have conversations with him as if nothing's happening. The holidays pass, and then I say, like, you owe me like a definite explanation. Okay, I get it. We've established we have feelings for one another, but you're not telling me anything. And he tells me, well, on December 25th, my status changed. And at this point, I know what he's going to say because I done felt it in my heart. I felt it in my heart. And so my status changed on December 25th and I got engaged. And at this point, I felt as if he had taken away a lot from me, my heart, my first kiss, my virginity, only to tell me that he had gotten engaged. I resented him for it. The first question I ask is, why? Why did you get engaged? And he's silent, and that pisses me off. And so there's a lot of anger towards myself, and there's a lot of anger towards him. I was angry because, to me, I was like, I knew better, and reason should always triumph over whatever it is that I was feeling for this man, or whatever hope I had. And because as emotional as I am, at the time, I was also very much on the moral high ground. So it's either something is good or something isn't, and it's either you pursue it or you don't. That was my view. And so I was angry. And I was angry at him for not producing an answer other than his feelings for me. Okay, I get it, but why did you get engaged? To his silence, I'm visibly much angrier, and I tell him, you only used me. I'm 100% sure this was a game to you, and now you took my virginity and you won. And I was like, don't talk to me again. Delete his number, delete him, block him from everywhere. He tries to contact me again several times because he tells me, I'm so shocked that you would think that I took away your virginity as a game because none of it was for me. I obviously have real feelings for you. And to what ends would I take away your virginity as a game? I'm not in the habit of playing sick games, and it could have been anybody. If I wanted to go and sleep with anybody, I would do that. I would just do that. But we both know we had a very real relationship with very real feelings, and it was not a game. None of it was a game to me. And if you'd give me a chance to explain to you, I would. I will try when we see each other physically. I block him. He tries to contact me by other means, tells me he would like to explain it to me, and he'll leave me alone after that. And I just answer something like, okay. As I said, this program in the DRC was an ongoing program, so I was bound to be there at least every 3 months. And this time it takes a whole 6 months, actually, for me to be back in the country. We end up seeing each other. We have this conversation where, to be quite honest, it's blurry to me. It's very, very blurry to me because there are a lot of parts that I kind of like maybe protectively just shut off. So I have the image in my head and there's no sound. All I remember is that he apologizes and tells me he regrets that he ever hurt me because that wasn't the intention. He fell for me and that he cannot apologize for. To which I want to strangle him because, and again, that's a reproach for me, but it's a reproach for him, but it's a reproach for me too. We could have felt the emotions that we felt and not acted on them, right? I mean, that was a possibility too. I told him that night that I loved him because I really did. I left before hearing his answer because I had this huge fear of rejection, of not being good enough for this person, that I finally, somebody likes me back. God forbid they don't love me back. So at this point, I'm God, goodbye. I don't even want to hear his reply. And this is July. We're in July 2019. I tell him I love him. And we cut things off. I don't want to, after that mission, I don't want to hear about it. I, at some point, unblock him from Instagram. I don't follow him back, but I unblock him. I do not know why. And he slides in my DM times, one November or December of 2019, and he tells me he thinks it's important to tell me that he is going to get married, and for what it's worth, he's sorry for all the pain he's caused and blah blah blah. I'm like, great story, bro. And in my head, I'm fuming, like, why are you getting married? And I ask him, why are you getting married? I do believe at one point he says, and I think this was the one time he told me, I've known her for so long, there are no issues that I can complain about. We get along, I love her, but in the meantime, I met you, and you literally haunt me every single day of my life, even when I don't talk to you. It's like destabilizing and I don't know what to do about it. I was so pissed. I was so angry. Again, angry at him, angry at the way things had unfolded. And I remember there's this one night I told him, I'm angry at you, not necessarily because of the events that followed, because whether I want to or not, I knew for a fact that you had somebody in your life. Facts. What I'm angry about is everything in the middle that made me feel like we were alone in this relationship. The sliding in my DMs, the I would marry you, the when can I marry you, the I feel so good when I'm around you, the I feel like I've known you my entire life and it's a strange feeling. Like, these were not supposed to be words destined to me, because it made me hope that you would end up with me, which is what I really wanted. Randomly enough, the day he's getting married, I get a call from a very close friend of mine who randomly knows somebody that knows him. So this close friend of mine calls me up. She's bawling every single tear in her body. I'm struggling to understand what she's telling me. I don't know. She catches her breath and she's like, he's getting married today. I hang up. And even though he's told me and even though I've known, I fall to the ground and I'm inconsolable for the next half hour. And I'm like, okay. I get up from that half hour. It's time to move on. Grab your keys, sweetie, and get out of this. Get out of it. Get your heart out of it. He is reblocked from all platforms because I'm trying to start on, you know, life on a new leaf, if that's the expression. And as luck would have it, I have another mission in the country. So I'm like, okay, he remains blocked. We go to the country, we go back to the DRC, and this time Lena is like trying to be supportive and she's giving me like advice, like, you know, she's telling me we have a meeting with him like tomorrow. At this point, I haven't spoken to him in 4 or 5 months. She tells me you can either just meet him there at the meeting, or you can unblock him and maybe for stress purposes, because again, I'm a very anxious person, prepare the slate, tell him, listen, hi, hope you're well, in the country for this meeting, take care. So that way there's no awkwardness of, oh, he didn't know you were there and now we're in the meeting and there's this weird interaction going on while we're having a serious meeting. You choose. I unblock the man for the umpteenth time. And oh, he's overjoyed at, you know, receiving a message from me. And Lena tells me, I didn't want to panic you, but he's been downstairs in the hall like the entire time. And he's asking about you. And I said, no, sir, no, ma'am. That's not a discussion, whatever it is that he is waiting for tonight, that I'm not gonna have it. The next day we go to the meeting, it goes well. He's visibly nervous. And for some reason I'm nervous, but Lena tells me I got it on lock. I'm acting like I don't care. He walks us out after the meeting and we get into the car, Lena and I, we go back to the hotel, and I can hear Lena in the background. She's saying, okay, great, that meeting went well, now you can block him right on back up and we can move on. And then it becomes background noise because I get a message from him and I can't think straight again. And so I can hear her speak to me, but it's too late now. I'm reading his message, and he's telling me, please have lunch with me. I'm conflicted, and I want to see him. I know nothing good can come from it. I know, you know, like, what's the use anyways, right? But I end up saying yes. He has a meeting somewhere else, so it gets canceled. We can't see each other. And then around 6 p.m., he says he's going to get to the hotel as soon as he can. Around 6 p.m., he's back at the hotel. He's in the lobby, and I see him. He's chatting with Lena. And then she can see that, you know, we're going to get to talking. And so she's like, I'll chat with you later. She goes upstairs. We sit down, and we have this 3-hour long conversation where we're basically going through our entire relationship from the start. Again, he's apologizing. And again, I'm like, it should not have gone this far. I do not know why I'm still drawn to you, and I'm sitting here in front of you. And he tells me, I'm not allowed to tell you this, but I'm so in love with you. At which point, I tell him I need him to stop saying that, because it's making me feel uncomfortable, because he's made the choices he's made, and I don't want to hear about it anymore. But again, you must know that this is somebody that dearly wants to hear those words as well. As complicated, and complicated is an understatement, as complicated as the relationship is, whatever is left of the relationship at least, I want to hear those words, but they make me uncomfortable at the same time. Either way, I end up leaving the DRC, at which point the pandemic hits when I get back home. And do you guys remember those memes of the pandemic is no excuse to contact your ex? Don't do it. I did it. At this point, like, I'm anxiously thinking everybody's gonna die. So I'm going to talk to him as much as I want, because the world is coming to an end, okay? I don't want to hear anything. I just want to talk to him. I'm spending a lot of time chatting with him. We're back in this loop of professing emotions to one another, and it's annoying and it's exhilarating at the same time, until over and over again, my consciousness makes an appearance, and in my defense, it's always been there, but not very loud, over what I'm feeling. And the feeling at the time is that I love him. Kind of like every time, like, I'm with the person, I don't want it to end. Every time I have a conversation with a person, I don't want it to end. And on and off, until slowly it actually becomes unbearable to be secretive. So I start to have all these scenarios in my head of being found out as the mistress, as the secret partner. And it's difficult because you never imagine yourself to be in that situation until you are. And at the time, I'm very much the person on the moral high ground, to the point where it's almost obnoxious. I'm judging everybody and their mamas. And I hear a lot of the time, and I heard it again, I think yesterday, somebody said, when it is not your story, you're the judge. And when it is your story, you're the lawyer. You defend yourself at all means, by all means. But anyways, it became unbearable, and I decide that I'm going to break it off with him. After kind of getting back into the swing of our relationship during the pandemic. So after a couple of months, I break it off with him, but I go back and forth and back and forth until July 2021, where at this point I'm like, maybe what's not working is the fact that every single time I break it off with him, it's a unilateral decision from my point. I'm making this decision to stop talking to him. And usually it's either I'm gonna block him or I'm gonna tell him, listen, have a nice life. You're not blocked, but don't talk to me. So in July 2021, we have a conversation, and I tell him, I can't do this anymore. I can't have this relationship on and off anymore. It makes me feel unseen. It makes me feel like a dirty secret. It makes me feel like a dirty secret. And I would like you to understand, and I would like you to help me, help us. Don't take me back with open arms every time I decide that I don't want to talk to you anymore and then I come back. Let's not do that. Let's just agree that we're not going to block one another, because what happened is when I blocked him, it was worse because now I had the urge to just contact him. So I'm not going to block you, but I would rather you don't contact me. Make it a conscious effort not to contact me. And I recall I sent him a text and then we had that conversation because he followed me at the airport because we were again in the country. We literally sit down before I'm boarding and he says he has heard me, he has understood what I've written down, and that he will oblige. And that is how our story ended. I have gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to Henry when he told me that he had gotten engaged. I left, I came back. When he told me that he was getting married, I left, I came back. When I had a feeling his wife was pregnant, I left, I came back. She gave birth, I left, I came back. And every single time, it was this feeling of my limits always being pushed farther. The limit of things that I thought myself capable of doing. Something that helped was finding love again. And that was very, 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 very difficult. And it only happened recently. I met this guy in October 2020, Patrick. But for reasons that were valid for both of us, we broke it off. But I'm so grateful for this relationship because Patrick is the proof that I could love again after Henry. Ending up with somebody else, somebody other than Henry, became bearable. And it was thanks to Patrick that I realized that. To the question, do I still love Henry? I would answer yes. Sometimes I'm still madly in love with him, and other times I'm numbed by the pain. But indeed, love is a feeling that remains true. Love to me is home, and it is unconditional. It is whom you want to curl up into and talk to. It's the familiar. It's the person you want to hug. It's the one you want to give kisses to. It's your home, and it is unconditional, because when they're angry, even when you hate them, you love them. When they're angry, you love them. When you're angry, you love them. When they're silly, you love them. In every state, when they're hurting you profoundly, love is home. And it is unconditional.